Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we journey through the book of Acts and learn that true faith leads to action. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back to today's episode of Everyday Truth. Really, really do appreciate each and every one of you, your desire to learn, grow, and spend some time in the Word of God. The Bible is not like any other book. It's God's book, and without the Bible, we lack direction and wisdom and all the things that only God can give. And so I do applaud you for being a part of the podcast. We are in a conversation that Festus and Agrippa are having with each other. Festus is telling Agrippa about the situation involving Paul. And in telling him about that situation, John, he brings up the gospel itself. Because the issue really, and it's interesting that Festus gets this, the issue really comes down to Paul believes in Jesus and the fact that he rose again. And the council does not like that.
You know, to Festus, this is just, you know, how can this be? I mean, to him, he thought the accusations would be something that would be credible in his mind. And to him, this is not at all an issue that even should belong in a Roman court.
Jesus is always, and the truth about Jesus is always the sticking point.
Yes.
It's always the sticking point. Jesus himself said that he would bring division. It's not that Jesus wants to foment division. It's not that Jesus wants people fighting. But the simple fact of the matter is, what you believe about Jesus is going to be it's going to be a dividing thing.
Yes, I think how truth always does divide, not because we try to be, because truth will divide because people don't like the truth a lot of times in life.
Everyone's fine with you saying you believe in Jesus. People don't have a problem with that. But when you say that Jesus is God's son who lived a sinless life and died upon the cross for your sins and rose again, and your only hope of escaping eternal damnation, of having a relationship with God, of spending eternity in heaven is Jesus, well, then that creates an entirely, because now you've made a very exclusive statement, and the exclusivity of that statement is going to cause, people can say yes or no. There's just no wiggle room in the middle.
Absolute truth is often, you know, hated in our society today, and it has been often that way throughout centuries. When even back in this day, you know, they in Rome, they would have had many gods. In Jerusalem, they would have had who they thought was the right God, but they sure did not follow the Old Testament and what the Bible said about the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And yet Paul is preaching the one man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And you're right, what you're saying, Pastor, that this was the sticking point, and this is the issue that will divide. It has divided and will continue to divide, and it is a truth that we must stand upon firmly.
Let's jump into the conversation again in verse 20. So Acts chapter 25 and verse 20. And watch what it says in verse 20. And because I doubted, so Festus continues to speak to Agrippa here. And because I doubted of such matter, of such manner of questions, I asked him whether he would go to Jerusalem and there be judged of these matters. Now, what's interesting here is that Festus lies. This is not true. But Festus, ever the politician, wants to spin this to Agrippa. So what does the Bible say? Well, what the Bible says is Festus wanted to show the Jews a pleasure. That's why he wanted to move the trial to Jerusalem. But when Festus recounts the story, he says, you know, because I was doubted and I really just needed more information, I just thought it'd be better to have the trial in Jerusalem. He's spinning this to Agrippa, isn't he?
He sure is. It reminds me about people that always try to spin things to make them look better or to appease people. They may come to us and appeal that they're really telling the truth and they're on our side. But people that have this mindset about speaking certain ways to shade the truth, we ought not think they will do less when they leave us or when they talk with us.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I know it's not the exact same subject, but it's a good rule of thumb. And that is, if somebody will complain to criticize another to you, or speak to you about someone else, then they'll speak to someone else about you.
They sure
that's,
will.
That's just I think everyone inherently understands that. Look at verse 21. But when Paul had appealed to be reserved unto the hearing of Augustus, I commanded him to be kept till I may send him to Caesar. Then Agrippa said unto Festus, I would also hear the man myself. Tomorrow, said he, this is Festus replying to that request, thou shalt hear him. So Festus says, here's the situation. Guy kind of got this strange guy. Here's the kind of the strange details of the trial. But, I gave him his appeal. He's a Roman citizen. He's going to Caesar. He's here, but I'm going to set him out on the next boat that I can get him on.
It is interesting that Agrippa now wants to hear this case. I mean, Agrippa knows that what he says will have no bearing because now Paul has appealed to Caesar, and Caesar will have to be the one that makes the decision. But Agrippa wants to find out more details about that. And it is exciting to see how God will work in this to give Paul the opportunity to preach the gospel.
Well, as we know, Agrippa is a Jew, or claims at least the Jewish religion to be his. So in that sense, he knows more about Judaism than Festus. And there's no doubt that Agrippa is aware of Christianity, because already there are Christian churches in his realm, and there are people that talk about Jesus. So this is an opportunity for him to say, well, I've always been interested. I want to hear more about this. So there are other factors at play here that the Bible does not tell us of. And I would simply say that when you talk to people about Jesus and there's a level of interest in hearing your testimony or in your pursuing that witnessing opportunity, don't think that that is not built upon the foundation of other influences in that person's life.
That's a great reminder for us. We have no idea how God has already worked in somebody's life or what God is doing in life right now. I think how that Paul talks about, that Apollos watered, Paul, though God used all of them in the process of the Corinthians' lives. And in our life, God uses different people to take people along different ways spiritually. And here, as you mentioned, Agrippa knows a lot about, Judaism. He is familiar with Christianity, and God will use this opportunity to give him instruction more perfectly about Christ.
Yeah, the illustration that you just used of Paul planting and Apollos watering is exactly what came to my mind. Apollos, after having been instructed by Priscilla and Aquila, went to Corinth, and the Bible says at the end of Acts 18 that he had great success among the Jews, which is ironic because Paul loved the Jews. He went to them first. And yet he had negligible success. Does that mean that Paul was not successful? No, his success was not a watering success. His success was a planting success. Sometimes in planting, all you do is rile people up. Like in planting and plowing, all you do is overturn the soil. So it looks like you're creating a mess. But it's in that mess that a seed can be planted. It's in that mess that a seed can be watered. And all of it's necessary. And unwise is that servant of God that views himself as the end-all, be-all when it comes to influencing others for Christ.
And it reminds us to not be weary in well-doing, but to be out there daily doing what God's called us to do. As God gives us opportunities, share the gospel. We never have any idea how God might use that to completely revolutionize somebody's life.
Look at verse 23. And on the morrow, when Agrippa was come, and Bernice, with great pomp, and was entered into the place of hearing with the chief captains, and principal men of the city, at Festus' command, Paul was brought forth. And Festus said, King Agrippa, and all men which are here present with us, ye see this man, about whom all the multitude of the Jews have dealt with me, both at Jerusalem and also here, crying that he ought not to live any longer. That's what they wanted. They wanted the death penalty for Paul. But when I found that he had committed nothing worthy of death, and that he himself hath appealed to Augustus, I have determined to send him, of whom I have no certain thing to write unto my Lord. Wherefore I have brought him forth before you, and especially before thee, O King Agrippa, that after examination, I might have somewhat to write. For it seemeth to be unreasonable to send a prisoner, and not withal to signify the crimes laid against him. Well, what a setup. So Festus is saying, you know, here's the case, and he brings all the important people. It's almost like Festus is, I don't want to take full responsibility for sending Paul to Rome when I don't really even know why he's going. So I don't even know what this case is all about. I'm still trying to wrap my head around this. Agrippa, you know a whole lot more about the Jews than I do. And so I'm going to let him speak to you and in front of all of you, principal men of the city, and let's figure out what we can write to Caesar so that I don't look bad here.
This is a fantastic scenario that God has put in motion to have all these important people, all these decision makers in the city there, where they're called together and Festus implores them, hey, you know, let's put our heads together. Let's come up with something. Agrippa, you can help us out here. And this is going to be a fantastic opportunity for God to give Paul to really preach the gospel very forthrightly.
What Festus thought was an assemblage for the purpose of saving his skin and giving him some kind of help in writing the letter to Caesar was in actuality just the Lord sovereignly bringing all of the influencers in the entire city together at one time in this great acoustic judgment hall for Paul to preach the gospel. God is bringing a packed out crowd for the purpose of hearing the gospel.
And I think, again, if Paul had not been in prison, this would not have happened. I mean, think of how hard it would be to get all of the major political people, all the major thinkers and movers and shakers in your city, to get them all in a captive audience, so to speak, where they're going to listen to you and you're going to share the gospel just very forthrightly. Who would not just, you know, rejoice to have that opportunity?
And as you said, John, that opportunity never could have come. Paul could have spent a lifetime in Caesarea trying to reach these principal men, trying to gain audience with these influencers, and may never have gotten to all of them. And yet here in one moment, he has a captive audience with the governor himself saying, everybody, listen to him.
This is quite an opportunity, for Paul to have this. And Paul is passionate about the gospel. And when Paul is given this opportunity, we know beyond doubt Paul will make every good effort to use it wisely.
What situation right now in your life are you bemoaning? What circumstance has befallen you that when you look at the circumstance only through the lens of its pain and its frustration, you say to the Lord, why in the world? Please take this away. And yet it's that very situation and circumstance that might be giving you the platform on which you can trumpet Christ in a way that you never could have otherwise. We see that throughout the Bible. John the Baptist, Jesus himself, Stephen, Paul, and we see it throughout church history. And so why could that not also be true in your life? Maybe it is. Let's have a godly and biblical perspective about what God's doing in these uncontrollable circumstances in our life. Well, I hope that helps today, my friends. Appreciate you joining us. Looking forward to jumping into a brand new chapter next episode. Hope you'll be there for the ride. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.